Now, we're beginning today a new series. I'm going to be talking about faith. I'm talking about confession. I'm going to be talking about the principles of the Word of God. In order to kick this series off, I have a surprise guest speaker for you today. It's my wonderful daughter, Pastor Cindy. The reason I've asked her to speak is that her message that was birthed in her heart for India, that she spoke to the pastors in India and then carried over internationally to South Africa, is exactly the message you need to hear to introduce the series that I'm going to be preaching. It is anointing. It came from God. It'll stir you to faith and to courage. And I know that there's an anointing upon her that will allow us to dig in deep, to be encouraged, and to enjoy what's coming ahead. So pay close attention, because God's going to open your heart to what's coming. All right? Now, would you give her a wonderful round of applause? Pastor Cindy. No pressure.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. All right. Well, it's always such a privilege for me to be able to stand up here and share with you. I always count it an honor and a great privilege, so thank you so much. We're going to start today. It's kind of a lengthy reading, but this will be the only reading, really, that we're going to do in the Bible today. So if we turn to Mark chapter 4, in the New Testament, Mark, under the M's. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Thanks, Dad. All right. So what's just happened in this story is Jesus has been doing miracles, and it's nighttime now, so he's asked his disciples, he's getting in the boat, and he's saying, we need to cross over, okay? So that's what's happened. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you still have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. So what's just happened now? So Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. They're on the way to cast out the demons out of this man. Now, the Bible says, if you read on, that it says there was a legion of demons inside this man. Okay? The word legion means a thousand. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody with a demon, but I think like one or two demons, ample. Really? A thousand? Now you're just showing off. I mean, a thousand demons. I can't even imagine what he must have been like, how crazy and out of his mind he must have been, how he must have terrorized that city. Because, you know, somebody that's demon-possessed, they have crazy strength. They can, like, throw people off. He might have been attacking people. I mean, it says they try to tie him up with chains. Okay, so they obviously had tried other things before they got to the chains. So this guy was terrorizing the city. He was an instrument of fear in Satan's hands in the city. He was so well known. People would come from all over the place because they heard about this crazy man. They heard about this demon-possessed man. So Satan was proud of him. This was a weapon in Satan's arsenal that he was using to terrorize those people. Makes you think, what weapon is Satan using in your life to terrorize you? To terrorize your family? But now here comes Jesus. You know, the Bible says that in the spirit world, you shine. You're a light. You're a light in the darkness. Can you imagine for a moment what it must have looked like in the spirit world with the Son of God crossing on a boat in the nighttime? It must have lit up for miles. You could see it. You know, Satan standing, he's like, what's he doing? Where is he going? He's crossing. I saw he just did miracles today. Where is he going? He's heading for my guy. We got to stop this. We got to stop this. I got to send a storm. I got to stop them from reaching my guy. So here's Jesus at the start of his ministry. This is still really early on. He is on the brink of one of the greatest miracles of his time. It's a miracle that will be spoken of for the next 2,000 years. He cast out a legion of demons. And here's Satan not wanting to lose his most prized captive. So what does he do? He sends a freak storm. He sends a windstorm to take them out, to kill them. Now you got the disciples in the boat. Remember, the disciples had been fishermen. So they had been out on rough seas. They knew what a storm was like. Many of you know I was for many years, about 12 years, I was an art auctioneer. So I was in the business world as an art auctioneer, and I traveled on cruise ships a lot of the time. And I have been in crazy storms. I have been in 40-foot waves crossing the Atlantic and holding on for dear life and thinking, is this how I die? So the waves can be scary. A windstorm that the Bible describes here must have been petrifying. These disciples must have been like, I don't understand. I checked my phone. It said smooth sailings before we left. I don't know what this is, but this is not what the weather predicted. Okay. They must have been freaking out. They're like, I don't understand what's going on. Jesus, didn't he say cross over to the other side? He said cross over to the other side. Here we are, crossing over to the other side. What, he couldn't have arranged for the smooth seas? Aren't we doing what he asked us to do? But you know, that's how it is with our lives sometimes. Because you know that there's things God asks you to do in your life. Maybe there's a desire he's given you for something. Maybe there's a vision he's placed in your heart. Maybe it's to be a successful business person. Maybe it's to be a financial channel for the gospel. Or it's to raise your children godly so that they'll be lighthouses and powerful men and women for God and the kingdom. And you know, it's not that Satan knows the future. He doesn't. But he can hear you talking. He can hear you talking to your husband about how you're going to raise your children and how you're going to pray with them and teach them the word. He can hear you talking about your plans for your business and what you want to do with the money and how you want to give to God. He can hear you talking. And he wants to stop that. He wants to stop the vision in your heart. He wants to stop the desires God's given you. He wants to stop the purpose of your life. So what does he do? He sends storms. And then you are there going, wait a minute, what's happening? Suddenly your child gets sick. Suddenly the IRS calls and they want more money. You lose your job. You lose a client. Your kids get on drugs and you're wondering, what is going on, God? Where are all these storms coming from? Where are you? I don't understand these storms. If I'm doing what you told me to do, why the storms? But see, the presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. In 2012, my dad, mom, and I were going to the Philippines because dad had been invited to speak. Pastor Henry had been invited to speak at the Philippines, the Full Gospel Businessmen International Businessmen's Meeting. It's a big, long title. It's a very prestigious thing. Businessmen and pastors from all over come to the Philippines for this meeting. And he'd been asked to come over, and so we were all traveling over. Mom and I were asked to give our testimonies for the women's meetings. And 2 weeks before we were supposed to leave, dad has a heart attack. That's called a storm. That's the preemptive strike of the devil to undo the work of God. That's what he was trying to do. Dad had stints put in his heart, and he was like, forget it, I'm going. I'm going to the Philippines anyway. So I was like, okay. So this is me in the airport. Mom in a wheelchair, dad in a wheelchair, 8 suitcases behind me. We had all the products that we had to take as well with us. I've got like 3 guys pushing us all through the airports because I'm also their personal assistant. So here we go, everything. We're going to the Philippines. And Dad had also some speaking engagement at some other churches that were set up. So he got to preach there, and were miracles and healings and salvations. It was just an awesome time. And then as we were approaching the weekend where the big convention, the conference was, Mom and I had our turn to share our testimonies for the ladies. And the day before the conference starts, one of the main gentlemen that run it come up to my dad and I, and he said, the ladies came to us and they were really moved by Pastor Cindy's, well, it wasn't Pastor then, it was 2012. He said, we're really moved by Cindy's testimony that she shared, and we want to ask if she would share it at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention. So before I give you my response, let me back that story up and explain to you why my response was what it was. As I said, I was a businesswoman for many years. I was never planning on being in the ministry. God had other ideas. I grew up in the ministry, so I have a tremendous respect and reverence for people that stand on this platform. I believe that you're God's instrument, and so it's something to be revered, because if you say something wrong, if you lead people astray, you have to stand before the Almighty God and answer, okay? So it is not something to be like, ooh, I want to be up there. No, 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 no. I was like, no, 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 I will be a financial channel, God. Yes, I will be a businesswoman and give the money to the gospel. You know, and that's what I did for many years, until it got to a place in my life where one day I was like, God, I love you. I'll do anything. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to take the limits off. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God, except missions to India. I'll do everything else. I'll do anything you want, God. I just want you to use me. And you know, when you pray a sincere prayer like that, God hears you. And he will answer that prayer. And God had started to put desires in my heart for the ministry in different areas and different aspects. But like I said, I was always very cautious. If I was asked, God started opening doors that I didn't know. And I would just like, okay, well, this is a door. I'll step through it. Okay, the next door opens. Okay, I'll just step through it. But now we're in the Philippines. And I don't know if you heard the title when I said the Full Gospel Businessmen. No women speak at this conference. No woman had ever spoken at this conference, okay? So they asked me to speak, and I'm like, I'm sorry, what now? And this is what happens. Even though you know in your spirit this is what God's calling you to do, here comes the storms in my mind. Here comes the wave of insecurity. Here comes the storms that says, you're not good enough. What do you possibly have to say to these men that they are going to want to hear? How can your testimony be anything that they're going to want to hear? Really, Cindy, who do you think you are going to be able to talk to them? And here comes the negativity. Here comes the insecurity hitting my mind with all the storm that it can take. Because, see, storms don't always come in the natural. Most of the time, you're fighting them in your own mind. And you can talk yourself out of the calling of God so quickly, or what God's asked you to do, by believing those negative thoughts. So how did I overcome that? Well, I did what the disciples did, if we go back to the boat. So the disciples are in the boat. Storm's raging. They're thinking, this is how we die. And then suddenly they remember, wait a minute, isn't Jesus asleep in our boat? Wait a second, that's right. Isn't Jesus in our boat? Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is in your boat. So the disciples go and wake up Jesus. And what does he do? Jesus gets up, says, peace be still, and stills the storm. And turns to them and is like, don't you have any faith? But you notice what Jesus did? He spoke to the storm. Jesus didn't pray to God about the storm. He spoke directly to the storm. See, faith is speaking God's solution to your problem. Faith isn't speaking to God about your problem. Faith is speaking to your problem about your Almighty God. If you're wondering how to wake up Jesus who might be asleep in your boat, it's called faith. That's the language that God speaks. I love Jeremy Pearson's. He says this line where he says, God doesn't speak beggar. And I love that line, because basically he's saying this. I mean, there's been times in your life, I can admit, I've prayed like this, where you're like, please, God, please, God, please, 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 God, I'll do anything. Please, God, please, 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 please. And God is up in heaven going, what is that, my child? I can't hear you through all that begging. What? I don't understand what you're saying. I bet it sounds like this. The language God speaks is called faith. Jesus never did anything in his life that he didn't already hear his father say. Was Jesus pretty powerful? Did he do a lot of miracles? And he said he didn't do anything unless he heard his father say it. So what does that mean? Faith is agreeing with what God has said over your life. That's what you have to do. You have to agree with God. So you're like, well, how do I agree with him? Well, you go to his word and you find out what he said over your life. Do you know that it says in there that you don't have to be anxious for anything? This Bible says that you can have joy. The Bible says that you can have peace in the midst of chaos and turmoil and sorrow. You can have God's peace. This Bible says that you can be prosperous and don't have to have lack. That you can have divine healing. That's what the Word of God says. So what you do is you find a scripture for what you're dealing with in your life. Maybe your mind, you're being tormented with anxiety and fears, and your spirit is anxious and you can't get a grip on it. You go to 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So then what do? When those storms come in your mind, when the anxiety starts to come, you say, uh-uh. See, because the spirit that God has given me means I can have love, I can be powerful, and I can have a sound mind. So mind, you be at peace, because I have the peace of God. That's what the spirit he's given me. So that's what you start doing. Now you start speaking God's word. He's up in heaven going, oh, they're speaking my language now. They're speaking that faith. I can hear it. And that's what the disciples did. They said, didn't he say we're going over? That's the word he'd given them. So he said, we're going over. Guess what? You're going over. Amen. Turn and tell somebody, we're going over. You notice how Jesus used this moment to teach his disciples. There's never a moment not to teach them. He wanted to teach them and show them that he was Lord over the wind and the seas. And I think oftentimes in our life, if we could look at it this way, that perhaps what you're facing is an opportunity disguised as a problem. I think that's an old Chinese proverb somewhere. What you're facing is an opportunity disguised as a problem. See, unbelievers are watching you. Your friends, your family, the people that aren't saved, they're watching you. And this storm is an opportunity for you to demonstrate the power of God that you're always talking about. That's calling you on the carpet there. Because we like to talk about it. We're like, oh yeah, the Bible says to other people when they're going through a problem. Well, you know, the Bible says you can have this, and the Bible says you can have this. And they're like, oh, okay, let's see what it looks like when you're in the storm. They want to see that this God you're always talking about is everything you say he is. You know, the thing is, I know that people, I used to think when I was younger that when trials came, whether I was struggling financially or if I got sick or something happened, then I would think that, well, my unsaved friends must think that God isn't real because I got sick, or God isn't real because I'm struggling financially. No, I've come to realize that people understand that the storms of life are going to come. They understand that the fires are going to come and try and burn you. They understand that these storms of life are going to hit you. But they just expect you not to smell like smoke afterwards. They somehow expect you to stand. They want you to see you standing on the other side of that. You know, it reminds me of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament. So if you don't know the story, three Hebrew boys, the king had built this gigantic, basically monument of himself, and said, bow down and worship it. But if you don't bow down and worship, you get thrown into the fire, okay? Not good options. So the three Hebrew boys will not bow down. So the king says, that's it. We're going to throw them into the fire. But let's first heat the fire up 7 times hotter Okay, fire, bad enough by itself. Doesn't need to be hotter. But the guy, it's so hot that the guys are dying that are heating it up. I'm not sure about you, but at this moment, if I was Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, I might start to panic. Okay? In my natural mind, I might start to panic. And I think about that. At what point in your life do you start to freak out? When you say to me, Cindy, you don't understand. My kids are taking drugs. You don't understand. I've lost my job. Or you haven't seen my bank account. That reminds me. I went into the bank last week because I had to go and tell them that, like, I was like, look, this bank account you gave me, I need a new one because the one you gave me has run out of money. So. Yes, I'm blonde, folks, and I'm owning it. But in all seriousness, no. Looking at these flames, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you must have been thinking, at what point do they say, whoa, okay, this is bad. This is how we die. I mean, this is bad. And at what point in your life do you start to freak out, to get anxious and panic? But see, man's panic never produces God's power. And if you want God's power, then you need to step out in faith. You need to step beyond that anxiety. You need to step beyond that fear, and then you need to step into faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the story goes, they got thrown into the fire. But guess what? Jesus showed up in the fire with them. They didn't just not get thrown in. They had to face it. They had to go through it. They were in it. But guess what? Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. What am I telling you? Jesus is in the fire with you, folks. He's right there. He hasn't left your side. He's right next to you. He's in the fire with you. Because remember, the presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. He said, you're going over and you're going over. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is in my boat. What has God told you? What has God spoken to your heart? You need to have faith in that. You need to hold on to that. You need to get your eyes off the storm. Because you keep focusing on the storm. When you focus on the storm, you feed your fear and you starve your faith. You're feeding the fear by focusing on that storm. Take your eyes off the storm. Take your eyes off the storm. Start feeding your faith, focusing on the Almighty God. Focusing on the one that's given you the word to get out of the storm that you're in. To get through the fire that you're in right now. Take the word that God's given you. Find that scripture and you confess it over your life. You say it over your life and you don't stop till you see in your life what God has spoken over your life. Don't stop until you see in your life that peace in the midst of trial. Don't stop in your life until you realize I am healed even though my body doesn't say it is. You don't stop even though you don't see, you don't stop until you get that new job. You don't stop until your finances are taken care of. You hold on to the word of God. You don't stop until you see in your life what God has spoken over your life. Because Jesus is in your boat, folks. Say that, Jesus is in my boat. And he said, you're going over. You're going over. If you close your eyes for me and bow your heads.